All right, here we go. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the program. It is Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, your host out in Las Vegas. Your other host today is James Salinas, and he is out there in Denver, Colorado. James, how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy MLK Day to you, my friend.
Thank you very much. Happy Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration Day to you as well. I think we can all take note of today and the meaning and the significance so we can all celebrate. That's awesome that we can do that today. James, the weekend for me was pretty decent. I was fully loaded on the Bucks, so we got a lot to get into here. Let's start with the Bucks because the news that hit today a little bit earlier, Vita Vea has been designated from IR return. He's going to practice Wednesday, believe it or not.
Well, so let me ask you, Pritch. I mean, he hasn't played since he got hurt in that Thursday night game in Chicago back in early October. So it's been, you're talking 3 months here of not being in a football game. And now I'm trying to step back in. I mean, I'm sure he's going to be on a play count and he'll be part of the rotation. To what extent he actually gets out on the field, that remains to be seen. But obviously, how effective is he going to be just getting back acclimated to the speed of the game? And now, you know, as you progress, there's different speeds to the level of football when you're talking regular season to playoffs, and now you're one game away from the Super Bowl. Do you suspect he's really going to be much of an impact in that game, just knowing that he's been out for so long? It's going to be really hard to step back in and to play at a high level, considering the stakes that are on this game here in Green Bay.
You're right, James. The thing about playing in a conference championship, though, is you might have an ailment. You might have even broken your leg at one point during the season, but if you have a chance to play, you're going to go out there and give it a go, give it a try. So he's got to prove to the coaching staff that not only could he practice at a high level, but certainly recover off of this broken leg to be ready for the game coming up this weekend. But when you look at the Bucks, Devin White return, that was a major influence on that game. That defense, Todd Bowles and what he did against Drew Brees and the Saints as they beat down the Saints the third time around here, Tom Brady could have had some big plays in it. Godwin dropped a pass. Gronk, he had a pass go off his fingertips. Brady a little bit off right there. But we saw a physical presence in that matchup against Tampa Bay and New Orleans that, frankly, I had not seen all year from Tampa Bay. Well, not all year. I'll say down the stretch, didn't see that style of defense from the Buccaneers there in that game.
Yeah, definitely Devin White coming back, very impactful player, especially where they'll roll him all over the field, right? He'll get back in there, pressure the quarterback, run blitz. He can be beaten coverage. I think that's kind of the Achilles heel for him on the defensive side, being able to match up, because he's very aggressive, and we saw his aggressiveness play out yesterday. Really, that whole defensive side for Tampa. I was more so the other side of that for me was what was really interesting, and what I didn't really see coming, Pritch, was the commitment to the run game that we saw out of Tampa. I didn't suspect that was going to really be the game plan. I figured, you know, you've got Tom Brady. They had been rolling, and granted, they hadn't been playing great competition leading up to the playoff game last week at Washington. But ultimately, they were getting, after they had their bye week, their bye was pretty late in the season, started to see more connection going offensively, especially those vertical routes like Arian likes to run. And Brady, when he has time, very accurate, and I think the arm strength is still there. It's never going to be what it was, but the accuracy is definitely still there when he has time to throw it. I was really surprised that they were committed to the run game and the balance that they had with both Fournette and Jones coming back. Maybe he's still a little bit gimpy, didn't have as many carries as Fournette, but the fact that they ran the ball 30 times and Brady only had 33 attempts, really pretty balanced action offensively, that was what surprised me the most. And you're right, I had a number of different, I was all over the board with these games yesterday. Props, sides, in-game, second halves, you name it. And I kind of stepped out a little bit because I had a couple of props that beat me earlier and let it fly away on Tampa in that second half. And to be honest, Pritch, I feel very fortunate that I was able to pull off, and I stepped out a lot more than I normally do. Part of it, not so much chasing, but just feeling like I've wanting to get some of that back that I felt like I should have had from some of the earlier beats. But ultimately, I felt very fortunate that Tampa was able to come back and win that game. And I think that's the thing, Pritch, when I'm watching games, if I have money on it, I'm betting on these games, I have a different kind of, I'm in tune with it, I have a different acumen when I'm focused on these games. And I think turning points in games are really key, and those really pop out, at least for me, when I'm betting on these games. And I think that turnover, that fumble from Cook, you know, latter part of the third quarter. It was tie game at halftime. Saints come out. They get seven. They get a three and out from Tampa, get the ball right back. They start driving, fumbling the football in that spot. I just really felt like the air let out because I felt like as a bettor, wow, I actually have an opportunity to get in this because I betting on Tampa in that second half, I really felt like it was slipping away in that third quarter. That fumble to me was a key turning point in that game for Tampa Bay and that defense.
Yeah, you know, for me, James, it's more from a conviction standpoint. I mean, it's Tom Brady and the third time around. I just had a I had so much conviction when I walked up to the window. And so I took Tampa Bay on a two-teamer, Tampa Bay and that over. And so I just felt like, okay, we're going to get that type of game. I was worried. I'm not going to lie to you in the beginning. But as the game played out, and this is what was helpful for me too, because of doing shows with you, I learned and understood about as if I'm analyzing a game, whether it's in game or whether I want to have a play in the second half, are teams in their game plan? Or are teams making stuff up on the sideline? A lot of times that happens. Their game plan's not working. We got to throw it away and come up with something new, right? But I did see Tampa be able to run the ball, and they use inside zone. So inside running zone is the National Football League has not caught up to that concept that you see in college because of the four-man fronts, because of nickel defenses, the 4-2-5. The four-man fronts, when you don't have a nose or you don't have anybody covering up the center, you are exposed now in the National Football League because, to me, defenses they just have not caught up to that concept. And maybe that's why we're seeing all these young coaches getting hired from college. So they have to address that, and Tampa Bay got into that, and it was highly effective whether it was Fournette or Rojo.
Yeah, absolutely, and they stuck with it, and I think that's been we've seen different game plans out of Tampa, and I think what's confused me, I've had a hard time getting a read on this team all season long, trying to figure out what was their identity going to be, because ultimately you get Tom Brady, that's who we're going to fire with right now. That doesn't mean it's going to be strictly drop back and throw the football, but I think early in the season it was continuing to do what they were doing, throwing the football, whether it was successful or not, especially in bigger games. I can remember that Rams game where it felt like that second game against the Saints too that they played on that Sunday night, they just seemed very stubborn, at least from the offensive side with Arians, that this is just what we're going to do today and we're not going to deviate from that. So it was definitely a complete flip of the game plan that we saw back in, I think it was week 8-9 when they played that Sunday night football game where really they just got completely worked by the Saints, especially in that first half. That game was over at halftime. To what we saw yesterday, so I like your point there. We were talking about that inside zone running game, but also the commitment to that and feeling like we have to have this. This is our game plan going into this. And maybe part of that is, too, knowing that if you want to compete to next week, we don't know what the weather's going to be like in Lambeau yet. But we, you know, obviously late in January, we can suspect that it's not going to be ideal conditions. And when you can run the football, right, that definitely lends to better, you know, better production offensively, especially in bad weather.
Yeah, how about that? And then, okay, Green Bay. So we got a rematch. NFC, we saw Green Bay and Tampa Bay go at it earlier this year. We have a rematch in the NFC Championship game. What you saw from the Packers at home, Aaron Rodgers, that offensive line, Jenkins handling Aaron Donald up front. I thought that was significant as you preview or you think about this rematch. What comes to mind for you, James?
Well, and that matchup right there in particular, I didn't play anything. I had one prop play going into that game before it kicked off. That was it. Cam Akers feeling like he's going to get a number of attempts, which he did, but ultimately that was going to be the recipe for success offensively for the Rams, but it was the defensive side. I wanted to see, number one, we didn't know if Cooper Kupp was going to play. Obviously, he was inactive. That was a big loss for them offensively too, but defensively, I wanted to see Aaron Donald. Yeah, you knew he was going to be out there on the field, but how effective was he going to be when he got out there? And I watched the first two plays, Pritch, and that was the beauty. Those are the situations right there for me that are great to have access if you have it, depending on where you live and your location. If you have live betting, especially here in Colorado, we have plenty of it. I wanted to see Donald, and what was his impact going to be? How effective was he going to be? And it was very clear after those first couple plays to me that he was not himself in any capacity, because he was, we're so used to seeing Donald. I mean, we've seen him, like, he's Conan the Barbarian, just one arm and throwing guys, right? We've seen that.
What's the double team with that guy? Yeah.
Right. It's just so dominant. And he wasn't even trying. He was getting engaged with the blockers and wasn't really, he couldn't get off the blocks. And he wasn't even really trying to get off the blocks, nor was he really trying to trail the plays once they were going around the side. Like, there was just, you could really tell that it was very impactful for him, that rib injury that he sustained the week prior, and he was nowhere close to himself. So that was the beauty of the end game. It's like, okay, look at that. I can jump on the team total for Green Bay. I can take the first half. Like, so many different options, which I did. I was able to get in there and load up, but I wanted to see that first. So just things to look at, especially when we're talking about matchups. So I think Green Bay was really able to take advantage of them because in that run game, which they did, but Aaron Donald was nowhere close to 100%. In that matchup.
They held up on the edges too, so it'll be interesting as you look at Tampa Bay with the three-man front, outside linebackers, whether Shaq Barrett's going to be standing up or not, but certainly applying pressure too with the zone blitz. We'll see how Green Bay handles that. That's what I'm going to look for this weekend. Let's shift over to the other game because we got another rematch. We got the Bills and the Chiefs. We saw that game earlier this year as well, but what we saw from the Chiefs on Sunday I thought was significant because they hadn't had any adversity, James. I mean, the season kind of went the way that they wanted it to go. Now they got the adversity. Patrick Mahomes goes out, but yet they kept it together. I was surprised that they kept it together well enough, although there were some calls in this one that could have turned the tide for them, I mean, or changed the outcome a little bit, because Cleveland could have had a lead in this game, if not for a fumble. Your thoughts initially of the Chiefs and how they played, and then certainly the rematch with the Buffalo Bills.
Well, that was one of the ones that I was upset about. I had Cleveland plus the 7 in the first half. I had a little juice on it, but I found a good number early at 7. And, yeah, if he gets across or just hangs on to the football, and that's something I wanted to ask you about, too, as we progress through this, is knowing that rule, I'm still not understanding why players still continue to stretch out there, knowing that we've seen that. We see that so many times where they're off balance, they're stretching out, they're getting tagged. They fumble consistently through the end zone. You know that's kind of, in a sense, that's the penalty for doing so. If you can't finish and hang on to the football, is the other team's going to get the ball at the 20. But that aside, Pritch, I was really another one where you try to get in the coach's heads, right? And feeling like, all right, for Cleveland, the weakness for Kansas City, even though it hasn't really been exploited to much of an extent this year, because they seems like they're constantly ahead in these games and teams have to try to play catch up and throw the football to get into those shootouts that the Chiefs like to play in. But for the Browns, not committing to the run game, it seemed like every time Chubb touched the football, he was getting 5, 6, 7 yards a hammer when they were running between, through the A gaps, through the B gaps, not going around the edge and definitely not trying to throw him the football. He couldn't catch the ball. I think he had at least 3 drops, but not understanding the game plan from that standpoint with the Browns going in. And sometimes you're trying to, when you're betting these games, Britch, you're trying to bet on what you think the coach's game plans are going into this game. And I was really surprised, not only the amount of throws that they were doing with Baker Mayfield, but then not trying to stretch the field. Like, so many throws were just the quick hitch. I mean, go back and look at the box score. Don't really pay attention to the box score as we play, but Jarvis Landry, 10 targets, 7 catches, 20 yards.
Right.
I mean, it's just a quick hit. Is that what it was? We were just trying to beat those guys in space? Because obviously it wasn't very effective in any way. I mean, they got everything they wanted. You have Mahomes that goes out in the middle of the third quarter, and you have Henny in there, and yeah, you were able to get back in there. You covered a big number at the 10 or 9.5, depending on where you got it. But ultimately, I just didn't understand the game plan for the Browns on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, they had a decent game plan. They just didn't stick to it. I think the pressure of the game, Stefanski, rookie head coach, we saw some coaching decisions, some challenges that he probably shouldn't have did. They mismanaged at times, but for me, that's what I look at too. Not only the players, but the coaches, how they're going to react. I mean, because there's obviously pressure on the coaches, and I thought they did get out of the game plan to start that second half. When you come out throwing the ball all over the yard, like you mentioned, and abandoning a running game, when you're a play-action football team on offense, why are you doing that? So they got back to the running game. That opened up a lot more, but it showed the vulnerability to the Chiefs' defense to me, though. Rashad Breeland, I think he's in concussion protocol as well. Nobody's really talking about that. I think that's significant as you match up against Stephon Diggs and those receivers with Josh Allen this week.
Yeah, so weather is another one to look at too. What's it going to look like? I looked at. Now we're 7 days away from it, but maybe rain leading into snow in that game. But we'll see how the weather plays out. But ultimately, yeah, I think Matthew was terrific, especially in that second half at the safety position. Just being all over the instincts that he has on the field of making plays and understanding what the offense is doing. He was tremendous yesterday. But talk about coaches too. And Andy Reid and been a tremendous coach there in Kansas City and how innovative he is. But you clearly saw Mahomes hurt that toe, hurt his foot, whatever that injury was in that first half. Now you've got that where he got the concussion, and you're running him on that stretch option. Like, why are you running? You could clearly see he was favoring his foot, and you really made him vulnerable in that aspect where he tried to turn it up. You could see he couldn't put anything on that foot, and then obviously gets weird, you know, weird angle, gets kind of broken in half in a sense and flipped around and taken out of the game. Another thing when you're talking about coaches, just kind of understanding where your players are at. Don't understand why Andy Reid would even think about putting Mahomes in that position, knowing he was injured the way that he was.
Yeah, you know, one quarterbacks never or rarely put air in their helmets, right? And then two, on top of that, the whiplash effect. I mean, playing football, there's multiple car accidents through 3 hours out there. And so the whiplash, I think, caused that concussion. We'll see. I think he bounces back, though. He's a competitor, a fiery type of competitor. So he's got to pass protocol, certainly. Up next, we're going to continue with the National Football League, some props as we preview the conference championship, getting you ready for the Super Bowl. That's coming up next. Everybody, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Just download the app. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip. Be sure to have your state-issued ID. Open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. With state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week, you're going to love this app. VSiN is also reporting live from the Mandalay Bay every weekend. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas. And James, do you have feelers out for somebody that you can hire to help you out with some of these props because of the expanded menu out there in Colorado, getting you ready for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, not just relegated to football, right? I mean, it's we have props, especially at least on the pro side, with the NBA, you know, plenty of props on the NBA side too. With basketball, you can get into, because I did play a couple of them today. One with Lamar Aldridge, actually, that game just tipped off, so I got to keep an eye on that one. I bet Aldridge over 15.5 points today, just knowing that the two bigs for Portland are going to be out, so he should be able to have his way against Cantor, who doesn't play much defense. But ultimately, yeah, I think that's the beauty of it. If for someone like me who hasn't really gotten into the prop market because I didn't really have access to it back in the day, you know, when you're betting with the local, there wasn't a whole lot of availability with that. But now with it being legalized out here, Pritch, there's such a wealth of angles and opportunities to get in there, not just the size, not just the totals, but looking at matchups, which I'd love to do because I'm such the eye test guy to handicapping games and looking at how games flow and how the matchups might be, football, basketball, etc. Absolutely. I may have to put a want ad out. I don't know. Do they have want ads anymore? Or do I do the Indeed? Maybe I need the Indeed. We have that. I'll look into that.
Yeah, I'm sure you can find some folks to help you out a little bit. Because, I'm expecting a book of props for the Super Bowl. So now that we have conference championship, let's get into some props from BetMGM right here. First touchdown, Tampa Bay plus 110. Green Bay, the favorite, minus 150. No TDs, 101. I can scratch that one off right now. I like this one. Either team, three unanswered scores. How about the yes minus 250 and the no plus 175, James?
Well, and I think typically you see, especially when teams score a lot, and I think that's the key, is do you think these teams are actually going to score, right? We saw the game, and I think weather definitely hampered that Ravens and Bills game where there wasn't much scoring going on whatsoever. But I think with these two matchups, with both conference championship games, both teams have the ability to score the football. You've got tremendous quarterback play, as long as Mahomes comes back, obviously. Tremendous quarterback play and innovative offenses to put points on the board. But I think you see that pretty frequently when you have high scoring games. It sounds like, oh, they should be a back and forth kind of affair, but that's why it's juiced the way that it is. You're having to lay $2.50 on that, because it does happen pretty frequently where teams will have three unanswered scores. Yesterday that happened in both the contests, but however on Saturday that did not. But I think those games Saturday, obviously with the Buffalo game where no points were at a premium in that matchup, but even with the Rams just being struggling the way that they did offensively due to injury, et cetera, they actually were able to score in between two of the Green Bay scores. So it's which way are you leaning with that, Pritch? Are you liking to take the plus money, or do you think that when these teams continue to score, that utilizing those trends usually continue where you get three unanswered scores?
Yeah, I'll take the plus money on that one. I mean, this suggests that there's going to be a three unanswered scores in this game. Highly unlikely to me, but I don't know if that's just to throw me off the track that, okay, look back at the previous game, 38-10, and Tampa thoroughly dominated Green Bay there. I think this is going to be a completely different football game. They always are, right, James? And to suggest that Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers could produce three unanswered scores, or those teams could, I mean, I think I would take a leap of faith on that plus money situation.
Well, and that's where I think you got to dig into those game plans again. Mm-hmm. And right now, I think we know what we're going to see out of Green Bay. Now, they definitely did commit to the running game. I think it was real clear, and that was something that I noticed too with that Rams game on Saturday, was they saw right away that, look, Aaron Donald is not himself. And I don't know if that whole game plan was to get in there, but they wanted to challenge him early and see what that was going to look like. Not so much from the pass rush perspective, but the running. I mean, they ran at him quite a bit, and they tried to move around to different sides. But if you think that this is going to be a shootout and both teams are going to throw the football, then maybe that's the spot you want to go, like you said, Pritch. Plus 175, that might be a good spot if they're going to have that game plan to throw the football, put it in those two Hall of Famer hands as far as the quarterback.
Absolutely. I got to do some studying up on these props, though, because there's going to be a lot of them out there, James Salinas. We are wall-to-wall with basketball up first, college hoops. So we'll get to that next. You know, at VSIN, we try to help you out with your money, certainly giving you some education as well. If you're trying to bet $22, hoping for a meaningless free throw or begging for goals at the end of a game to hit a 14 parlay, we have a suggestion. Take $22 and invest it in your sports betting success. Become a VSIN All Access member today and get all of our expert VSIN betting analysis for only $22 a month. Here's what you get: the daily emails, great betting info, 24/7 video access to our experts, Point Spread Weekly, and Betting 101 Strategy Guides. It's everything you need to increase your sports betting IQ. Place a bet on yourself right now at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you. James, as we get into college basketball, we got halftime, UConn, St. John's, 35-32. Got some pretty good games on the schedule, considering. You look at that one, I think that was a good matchup, certainly. But what about Florida State, Louisville? Louisville and Florida State, to me, is an intriguing matchup. I mean, Florida State, they have a pretty good player that's just going off this year. MJ Walker, he's been spectacular, in my opinion. How do you see this matchup, Louisville and Florida State?
Well, I mean, Louisville at home, they're always very good at home. I love Chris Mack as a coach. I think we know, you know, when you have a Chris Mack as your coach, we know what their identity was at Xavier for a long time, right? They were going to guard you on the perimeter. They were going to cut hard, and they were going to attack the ball, you know, attack the basket off the bounce. And I think that that's really transitioned to what they're doing at Louisville. I know there's been some issues with COVID and availability with certain players, so that is definitely something to always keep in mind. If with any, whether it's college basketball, Pritch, or NBA right now, especially right now, it's rampant in the NBA. But making sure players are available for these matchups. And I think for Florida State, I check on Scotty Barnes, you know, right. the highly touted freshman that came out. Big fella, you know, 6'9" point guard in a sense. Really spectacular, but a young player. But he did roll his ankle last week. I don't think he didn't play on Saturday. So got to check his status. But I think with Florida State, we see these teams year in and year out. A lot of times they have the ability. They always have a lot of bigs, and he's got size down there and Tallahassee, but don't really score inside like it used to be. There was a lot of points in the paint and kind of inside-out offense. Now it's really guard-heavy when it comes to the scoring, and I just don't know if that's a great matchup having to go play in Louisville, just knowing full well how Chris Mack and that team is going to defend the perimeter. So in this case, mainly 2.5 out here right now. A little juice towards the Cardinals. Right now, my lean would be with Louisville at home in this matchup.
Yeah, we got -3.5 out here, total 140.5 as well. Florida State, I saw highlights. I didn't see this game. And they shot 70% against NC State on Saturday. So there you go. I don't know how many paint touches they need when they're shooting 70%, James Salinas.
Yeah, well, it was Carroll. They had throttled NC State earlier in the week. That's when Barnes got hurt, and then they get to play Carolina, and we know Carolina. Actually, you know, I think Carolina, Kentucky, and Duke, none of those teams right now are currently ranked. So when's the last time that's happened when we haven't had those blue bloods in college basketball actually ranked in the top 25? But, you know, one and done, especially this year, one and done kind of the mindset of going and getting these highly prized players that don't last very long and take off after a year. Not a recipe right now, at least in the college basketball age, for success or sustained success, right? But I think ultimately for looking at Florida State, yeah, it's just, you know, with how they have to play, and they do score and they can shoot the ball, and obviously they throttled UNC, and anytime you're going to play the Tar Heels, even if they're having a down year, that's a blue blood name coming in. You're going to be hyped and ready to compete and want to win that game, especially at home. I just think this is a tough matchup to go into Louisville and be able to play the way that you have to score from the outside, like Florida State can and can shoot the ball, but they're going to check them. Right, they're going to get out there. They're going to guard that perimeter. They have the ability to switch over those screens too. Kind of same size mindset outside with the guards that the Cardinals have. So again, in this case here, guard that three. And yeah, it looks good one day, but it's how are you going to defend? Because I think that's what we've seen this year from the Tar Heels. Not a whole lot of defense on either side, whether it's on the perimeter or inside the paint. Just not a really good Carolina team this year for the Tar Heels.
Right? Yeah, I'm looking forward. The Cardinals to shoot the ball better, certainly. How about the premier matchup, Kansas-Baylor in the Big 12? Yeah. Baylor, I mean, they got all three. They got depth. They got athleticism. They got size. I mean, they crush you from any angle, really. Kansas has their hands full. This blue blood, Baylor's laying 8.5. That totals 140, James.
Yeah, if anything, I might lean towards the total. I played the total with Baylor and Texas Tech. Played the first half. A lot of times, if I'm betting unders, and I know it's not a exact. Well, they put it half the point total is first half and second half. But I've just been burned too many times over the years with these totals going under in college basketball, where the last 2 minutes becomes a foul fest. So, but I like Baylor. I love what Baylor does, especially defensively. Now, yes, they have plenty of guard options to shoot the basketball. They're very aggressive, and that's what I like about their guards, the toughness. Sometimes you can see certain players that constantly looking at the official, they're expecting a whistle, like this is not AAU, right? You're in conference basketball now, and they've got, you know, there's a lot of juniors and seniors, a lot of upperclassmen on that team for Baylor to handle the ball, so it doesn't just fall on one person's shoulder. It could be Butler one night, it could be Mitchell, it could be Teague. I like Flagler coming off the bench. That kid's got a sweet stroke. He can shoot it. So a lot of guard play for Baylor, but what I really like about Baylor is their ability to guard the perimeter. And that's what when they play Texas Tech on Saturday, I mean, they hedge ball screens really hard. They get over the top of screens. They recover. And then anytime you're trying to get any kind of post presence in there, they are collapsing from that weak side. Their low post help defense is terrific. They're the epitome of what I like to see, and Texas Tech does this very well too, as far as their half court defense. And so I think for Kansas, the issue for Kansas is it just doesn't seem like for them they have that kind of toughness when it comes to that guard play. I think we're just so used to seeing these veteran guards and the leadership that we see out of Kansas, because they like to play inside and start inside out as well. And McCormick's a good player, but really he's the only option they have inside.
Right.
Teams have taken that away and forcing their guards on the perimeter for the Jayhawks to make shots, and they really haven't done that this season. It's hard. I want to make a case to say, yeah, I like Kansas plus the 8, because that's a big number, 8, 8.5, 9. Baylor's going to be psyched for this game. It's a terrific team, especially defensively. That's a bad matchup for Kansas here. The one thing about Kansas, they did have their games canceled on Saturday against Iowa State. The game prior, they lost to Oklahoma State. They gave up 37 points in transition. I think they've had a whole week off, and Bill Self is definitely going to get into his young players' heads to say, we've got to be much better on defense, and it starts in transition. So to me, this smells like an under. I may not play the total for the game, but I may look at the first half under.
Okay, remind everybody, that total is at 140 right there. Outstanding analysis from James Linus. Big matchup, Kansas and Baylor, that's coming up. Also coming up on Dr. Martin Luther King Celebration Day, we got a great schedule in the NBA. The NBA gives us this today. That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. New BetMGM customers have a chance to win $100 when they place a $1 wager on the Lakers or Warriors to hit a three. Download the app today. Use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Lakers or Warriors to hit a three. It's a new customer offer and is paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old. Located in Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, or West Virginia. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? 800-522-4700. Colorado, Nevada, 800. Gambler, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, 800. Bets off in Iowa and Tennessee. Call or text the red line, 800-889-9789. And call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program. It's Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you today. And as we turn to the association, James, a bit of news. We got the Pistons in the Heat in a delay because of protocol. Now, it's in danger of being canceled, too. So keep an eye on that. That game is delayed until 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. So a bit of news right there. It's tough in the NBA right now with COVID. You just mentioned that not too long ago.
Well, and for Miami, I mean, it's been for the last few weeks, they've had such a thin roster due to a few injuries, but also the COVID has just been running rampant through that team. And so, yeah, definitely need to check on those, making sure players are available and waiting right up. Even when they're talking about players being probable based on injury, we still see certain players don't play. So tread lightly when it comes to if you're expecting certain players to play, especially if you're playing some of these props. And that's what I'm starting to get into a little bit with the NBA as well. Is, you know, for me, basketball is still it's NBA. It's going to be spots. Is this team ready to show up? Do they have is there something that they're looking for within this game? Is there a rivalry there? Is it, have they had a long road trip? Whatever those things might be, but definitely availability is one of those. So in this case with the Heat, they may be better off canceling that game because it has just been such a struggle for them through COVID and through injury. To eventually they'll get their roster back. No one's lost for the season. They'll get them all back, but just having to fight through what a grueling couple weeks this has been for Spoelstra and his team.
Sure, and they're laying 7 points against Pistons right there. That total 217.5. Just updating folks on the news, just make sure you stay abreast on that situation. The Hawks right now leading the Timberwolves 58-51, and the Spurs are beating Portland 47-38 as we turn to the schedule and the association. James, these are some pretty good matchups. We got the Suns and the Grizzlies. Any leanings here, James Linus?
Well, I think the Sun, the Suns just had their three-game homestand completely postponed due to COVID, so they haven't played in a week since they lost to the Wizards. That was last Monday, so now having to go back on the road again since their homestand was canceled. I think reading up on the Grizzlies, Morant just came back on Saturday, so was able to lead his team. He's obviously a tremendous player for them, young player, but tons of talent and really dynamic playmaker for them. Coming back Saturday, leading them to beat a Philly team, another team that's been struggling through COVID. But reading some things about the Grizzlies. Now, there is going to be the National Civil Rights Museum is there in Memphis. A lot of history there with King. And so this is, I think, there's a lot of talk about this game. The players are really excited to be a part of this. They're going to honor, they're going to honor, I think, Ray Allen and Kenny Smith at the game. So hopefully it gets played. But ultimately, I think anytime you're trying to find an edge, number one, to make sure there's incentive and there's intent to go out and compete, because we can't say that teams are doing that in the NBA on a consistent nightly basis. There's a little bit of an edge there. That's ticking down now. I see a lot of 4.5s out here in favor of the Suns. Now, with the Suns not having played for a full week, I like the Suns. I like Chris Paul and Booker in the backcourt together. Still learning, only played 10, 12, 15 games, a lot of these teams. So really small sample size so far in the NBA. But I like Williams there as the coach. Suns will figure it out, and they're going to be up and down just like any team. But I hate going against the Suns. But just from an intensity standpoint and a motivation standpoint, definitely lean towards the Grizzlies in this home matchup for them, plus the 4.5 or five if you can find it.
Well, it's 5 out here. That's that key number. Suns laying 5 points, 218.5 on the total. Now, the significance of the game, of course, I mean, this is one of the most important games on the schedule for the Grizzlies. Assassination location as well. So the museum that you mentioned, the tribute as well. I mean, this is one of those important games for Memphis, right, the Grizzlies. And 17 points, 31 minutes for Morant when he comes back. I mean, that was incredible against Philly. So you got backcourt versus backcourt. I think Chris Paul has not only freed up Booker to be more creative, but Bridges as well, to be more creative for the Suns. And I think that's been impactful. But my question to you is about being on the road again because of your homestand being canceled due to COVID.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy struggle. Now, you haven't played, so at least your legs aren't weary because you haven't played in a week. And obviously, they've gotten to have that. That's the key, is just not knowing what the practice time looks like for these teams when you're having to go through protocols and tracing and all those kind of things, whether they're closing facilities or players can't get on the court together. So a lot of these teams, and not just the Suns, every team is having to go through this to where a lot of these games, they're having to, because there's very limited practice time, they're using these games in a sense to try to figure out, especially if you've had a lot of turnover to your team or new coaches to your team, trying to figure out in real time, in game time, because they didn't have a whole lot of preseason games, different matchups, different lineups, different ways to attack, the ball screens defensively. So lots of different things that teams have to go through. So it is a long layoff for the Suns, but again, with Morant coming back, you're getting that plus five at home, knowing the significance of this game, and that team is very fired up to play. Yeah, I don't like going against the Suns team because Booker and Chris Paul can light you up on any given night of the week. But ultimately, I still like that spot playing at home plus that number.
Okay, let's get to the big boy, Milwaukee and Brooklyn. We're not going to get Kyrie Irving back yet, certainly. But I mean, if you're Harden, what a debut, a triple-double right there. And maybe you were passing the ball too much. I've heard that, right? So the Bucks are laying 3.5 against the Nets on the road at total 240. By the way, James, your thoughts on this one?
Well, I was hoping that actually Irving would play tonight because I think that's, again, they haven't practiced, haven't got together. Now you're going to have to go figure it out in real time, in a real game, having to figure out rotations, who's going to share the ball, what is that going to look like on both sides of the court, but especially with Harden, Durant, and now Kyrie Irving trying to get back into the mix together. How are they going to manage that offensively? So a lot of that can be worked out through practice, but not having practice time, You got to learn it and figure it out during these games. So, I mean, I would, if Kyrie was playing, I would lean towards the Bucks because I think that just makes it even more difficult for Brooklyn in that aspect to have to learn it in real time tonight in that matchup. But, you know, the Bucks have played very well lately. They've had some changes to their roster, too. But, you know, they've won 7 out of 8 games, but 3 of those games were against the Pistons, and I think everybody's been able to beat up on the Pistons early in the season so far this year. But I was leaning towards the Bucks in this matchup, but if Irving is definitely not going to play, I'm definitely going to watch this game. Preview of the conference final in the East, right? But I may not play this game if Irving is definitely confirmed not playing.
Okay, what about this angle, though? And I was thinking about it this morning. D'Antoni, he's got everything he wants right now. He's the offensive coach. He doesn't have to worry about being a head coach and worry about both ends of the court. Nash, you handle the egos. You handle that. D'Antoni finally getting everything he's ever wanted and an offensive firepower and Harden, Durant, and others, certainly. What if he just unleashes this group somehow and they're able to not pass it too much and they're able to be comfortable playing on the court with each other? What does that look like for the Brooklyn Nets teams?
Well, I think if they're able to figure, and I suspect they probably, I mean, these are veteran players, right? Mm-hmm. So it's Well, we would think. I mean, Harden did play with Durant, you know, a long time ago back in OKC with Westbrook. And how were they able to play together? They were able to get to the finals and lose to LeBron once. But I think for them, I think offensively, they'll figure it out. It's going to take some time. And really, it's going to be having to learn those games, learn how to play together offensively in the game during these games, lack of practice time. But I think for me, the bigger concern is going to be the defensive side. I think we've seen that if you want to win, and we've seen that with the Lakers. I mean, the Lakers, they're 7-0 on the road right now, and so much of that comes to their effort and intensity level on the defensive side, and it all starts with LeBron James. He sets the tone for that team. When he comes to bring it defensively, everybody follows suit. I don't know who's going to set the tone defensively for the Nets. Yeah, they're very odd. They've got every weapon available to score the ball, but you know, if you want to get to the finals and win a championship, you can't win these games. You're not going to be able to win those games scoring 140 points the way that I think D'Antoni would like them to do, because he really didn't put much effort or energy into the defensive side.
Right.
He's been coaching in the NBA.
Right? I think they're going to try, though. I'm going to watch it, too.
It'll be fun to watch.
Yeah.
It'll be fun to watch. And if you're wanting, especially regular season, mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to sit there and bet those games under, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Real quick, Lakers, Golden State. Lakers, LeBron says this one means a lot to him. Yep. They are laying 9 at total 226.5 against Golden State.
Yeah, the Lakers have lost their last 3 games on MLK Day. I do. I'm going to bet LeBron over 25.5 points. He's been very limited with, you know, we talk about load management. Are they going to play certain nights? Now, he's played, but he hasn't been logging a lot of minutes. The last 3 games, he's logged less than 90 minutes collectively, so he'll have fresh legs. They haven't played since Friday. Yes, and those are, again, where's the edge? Are they ready to come? Now, that's a big number here. I don't know if I don't like laying these big numbers in the NBA, but I think LA brings it. They'll bring it ready to play on the defensive side. I think it's going to be a struggle for Golden State, so I'd lean towards the Lakers to cover that big number, but ultimately I like LeBron to go off tonight. I don't see how Golden State's going to match with him defensively. So at 25.5 points, I think he'll get plenty of minutes, and he's going to look to score and be very aggressive offensively.
You know, LeBron's such a smart player. I mean, he involves and he actually portrays culture. Not only to the teammates on the court that he's playing with, but the bench, too. And his impact that way is felt. Kerr recently said that the Warriors are kind of out of sync right now. So I kind of believe that. That's a big number, though, laying 9 points. But it's an important game for LeBron. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, that celebration. So inspired performance. I'm anticipating that as well, James Salinas. And hour number 2. We're going to get back to the National Football League. You can bet on some of the matchups, exact matchups that we might see in the Super Bowl, and certainly anticipate some of those matchups. So that's coming up next, hour number 2, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.